Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today, we have with us a first time for something. Before we get into that, I want to thank you for tuning in. We want to thank our longtime listeners for supporting us and sharing the podcast. We ask that you share it with a friend so it's encouragement for others. And with us today, it's our first time having three guests at once. So we're going to see how the Holy Spirit leads this whole thing. They are in a band called Tri-State Worship. You've heard from two of the members before. We have Ben Akers and we have Anthony Brown. But then we have the third member of their band. We have Carl Jameson with us as well. And we're going to have Carl open us up with an opening prayer because he hasn't gotten to yet. And then we will get into it. So thank you.
All right. Sounds great. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time for us to get together in your name. And we pray that you anoint this podcast and you keep it fun here. And in your name we pray, amen.
Jesus. Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
So thank you for being with us. And we're just going to have you start it off wherever it makes sense. We're going to be talking about God's goodness, modern day miracles.
And how does Tri-State fit into this?
Yeah.
It is a miracle. It's definitely a miracle that we are formed, that God saw fit to just, you know, just take a couple of three grade A bozos and put them together and do his work. So that in and of itself is a miracle that we are formed as that band. And all three of us, we have different backgrounds and walks of life, but we do share the same common thread of that we believe in Jesus and that we just want to lift him up. Wherever God opens a door, we go. So,
and worship's important because it opens the door, it changes the atmosphere, and invites the miracles.
You know, honestly, I was thinking, I was reflecting on it before, and worship is important to me because it's easier to sing praise to God than it is for me to say praise to God, right? When I'm thinking, oh, praise God, it feels awkward. But when I'm singing it, it feels right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there's something to do with that, or, you know, God has his plans. And so there may be something he built into us that is for singing praise to him. And worship is a great outlet for that. Or singing in worship is a great outlet for that.
He created us as musical creatures, you know, I feel like. And even though the word says, you know, make a joyful noise, just the fact that we have that kind of built into our DNA, that we like music and we like noises, we like sounds and frequencies and vibrations. And so, yeah, I mean, that is definitely, that's a good point for sure.
Some people are more musically inclined.
Yes. Some of us are gongs. Yes. That's me. Like, I'll admit it.
Yeah, I've always stick to the drums because I could never get any other instrument to work right.
Our beagle has something to say too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I believe she too likes drums.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right.
So how did you guys meet? I mean, because we know your backgrounds, and it seems very interesting how from where you started and the life that you led and the trials that you faced was so uniquely different from each other. That how did you guys meet in the center? How did Jesus pull you to that point?
So, okay, so Ben and I met on the back of a garbage truck.
Yeah.
So I worked for the city of Weirton in West Virginia. I was working there before Ben, and then Ben got hired. I don't know if it was cleanup or what, but he needed a job. So he applied, and he ended up getting hired. And,
The guy that lost his job because he came to work drunk or something, or was drinking a 40?
There was a guy that lost his job, and he basically replaced him. Now, it wasn't Ben that lost
his job.
He took the guy's place. But yeah, that's basically how we met, and then there was a usually like 30 to 40 minute ride back and forth to the landfill, and him and I do nothing but talk, so... So, and our driver, you know, he just drove, so we just talked, and I don't know, it came up. I don't even know how the conversation started, but we just started talking about church and music and
the
God
Holy Spirit took over.
And I found out that he played guitar and he did what he does, and then he found out that I played drums. And at the time, I was actually playing drums with it was the Outcast Ministries. It was actually my mom was the lead. She played piano, and my dad ran our sound, and that was kind of how it fit in. Then he played with us for a little bit, you know, and then eventually God led him somewhere else, and I don't know. Eventually, we just And what's funny about that is after, because he got a better job, he left, and I was still on the garbage truck for a little while after he
a
left.
Better job?
And, come on. Yeah. He got something better, and I was stuck where I was at. But I thought him and I would, like, lose contact. But we, we kept in touch. I had his number. He had my number, and we just kept in touch. We played at churches together, but, you know, before Tri-State was formed, fully formed, you know, we played at churches together, worshiped together. And even when we weren't doing that, we still just remained friends. You know, every once in a while we'd hang out and stuff and just chill. And then God pointed us in this direction, you know.
He's seen the worst in me. I've seen the worst in him.
right.
I was there with him, you know, through his divorce. It was just, you know, we just know each other on an intimate level almost, you know, because he always asked me for money. And so.
right.
But that's our story.
Yeah.
So where's Carl, how do you fit into this? Like, how did you meet these jokers?
Well, I met Ben at a summer job. There's a Christian camp up at the top of the Laurel Highlands, up at the top of the mountain,
Jamonville.
And it's in a small town called Hop, which is outside of Uniontown. So we met at this camp. I was working there for a summer job, and
I got booked to play there.
Yes, and Ben got booked to play there for the worship for about the whole summer. I mean, every once in a while we would have another guest or something, but for the most part, Ben would be leading worship, and I decided to play alongside him. I originally started off on keys.
Yeah.
Then I brought my bass in. Actually, I think it was when I met Sonny.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was the only time that he ever played drums there, and I was probably the unfortunately.
That was like that summer camp thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that chapel that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like kind of...
Yeah, people get covering their ears.
The acoustics were phenomenal in that building.
The biggest drummer problem is everyone complains about, it's too loud.
Well, it was pretty loud. Too bad. Right. Unfortunately. That's what I would say. I'm used to that, honestly. Honestly, yeah. I mean, too bad. Yeah,
I didn't realize that was the first time you and I met. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been to a concert, then that'll be nothing to you, to be honest.
Yeah,
right.
But to get back to the point, that's how we met. I started playing on bass, and then Ben and I started getting closer. We kept in touch, and then I went to his basement where he had a little studio. We did a little bit of rehearsing and a little bit of recording, a little jam session. And then we started playing gigs at... Mm-hmm. Together at Jamonville, and then we got other venues that we started playing at. And
God would open up different doors. And
Who came up with the name?
I
think it was like all of us.
It was all of us.
I have a revelation about that, though. So when it comes to the name, so for the longest time, you know, because me and Anthony both were signed with LBM. And at the time, I mean, it was a season, but then when God closed that door for me, it was kind of like I was plunged into this, not darkness, but this season of, you know, God wanting me to focus on family and other things. So during that time, God spoke to me and he said, you know, Ben, and I love you, and I guess I've given you a gift, but you're taking that gift and you're almost like you're elevating... You're elevating yourself, but in my name. Mm-hmm. And that really shook me to my core because I had to repent. I said, God, I don't want to do that, you know. Mm. And so my eyes were opened. And so God said, no more is it going to be Ben Akers Music, but I've given you a drummer and I've given you a bass player, and the three of you are going to come together in unison, in unity, and do my work. And no longer are you going to be Ben Akers Music, because... Anthony is from West Virginia, you know, I live in Ohio, and then Carl's in PA. So it just fit Tri-State Worship. And so that was kind of like the end of Ben Akers Music and the beginning of something new that God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've played a handful of shows, different churches and things like that.
Miracle services.
Venues. I mean,
they're on Facebook if anyone wants to see them on the God's Goodness podcast page. And if you want to see what they look like. and what they sound like too.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you mentioned that God closed the door on that for you, but I remember the interview, and it doesn't sound like God closed any doors, that you could have still done LBM. It's that he asked you, and the more important thing is you had the courage to be obedient.
Yes.
And I think that is the more important. And I just wanted to express that to the viewers, that it wasn't just that God is closing doors, but he's asking you to close some of them on your own, mm-hmm. right? Because he has better things for you. He has a better plan, and not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to give you life and to give you life abundantly.
Yes.
And if you have the courage, like he gives us a spirit of boldness, if you have the courage to step out in obedience, you can seize what he is giving you.
Yes. That is so perfect, because when the enemy doesn't come at you with a spirit of conviction, but the enemy comes at you with a spirit of condemnation. Mm-hmm. The enemy says, you know, look what you've done. You're a terrible person. You should just kill yourself. You know, that's the enemy. But when God, when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to something that's going on that might not be right, or it might be leading you down a path that's not in line with what the Holy Spirit wants for you, then it's not out of that spirit of condemnation. It's a gentle tug. It's like, hey, my son or my daughter, you know, I love you, but there's some things that you need to change. You need to repent. This is that. It's not the end of the world. You know, just be obedient. I love you. You know, I'm just showing you some things that need. It's not like it's, you know, oh, you're a hateful, spiteful person. How could God love you? Da, 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 da. That's the enemy. So I knew that it wasn't the enemy. I knew it was God, because it was that gentle tug. It was that, hey, I'm pulling you away. Mm-hmm. If you'll let me, if you just be obedient, let me.
Just like pulling the reins on a horse.
Yeah.
So just a little kind of.
Yes.
Right. Not, he's not like cranking it, you know, like he's trying to stop the horse on a dime.
Yeah.
Just a little nudge, because in the end, he doesn't want to hurt us.
Right.
And he knows that peeling the layers off all at once, although beneficial for us.
Yes.
Is not healthy for us, because it would break us so completely to be hurt so much so fast.
And some things did happen at home when I was signed with LBM. So it wasn't necessarily the record label. It was just, I wasn't like we talked about in my podcast. It wasn't that I couldn't handle it. It was irresponsibility. It was temptation. And so that was God. It was not that it was the label, and God pulled me away from the label for a time. So I don't necessarily have to sign with a record label on an artist contract, but that doesn't mean that once I get priorities right, that, you know, maybe a distro deal or something in the future couldn't open up. And so right now, like, there are talks right now with LBM, not as to go back as an artist, but as to maybe get on some sort of a lower level distro deal, something like that. Mm-hmm. So God's opening doors, but he's closing the ones that he knows for a fact that should not be open.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it's very easy to distinguish, like, is this the enemy or is this God? Because if it's the enemy, then you know it's coming out of a hateful, spiteful attitude. But if it's God, it's coming out of a gentle nudge. It's like, hey, you know, I see you, I love you, but, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Very true. What is the like, you have a goal for Tri-State Worship? Is there like something that you like, you want to be like the go-to band for the Tri-State area? Do you want to have, you know, is there like somewhere in there that you want to be able to bring the word in a larger venue, like, or by through worship? Like, I mean, is there,
what's
are there
your
songs
vision?
You're developing that you think are really going to bring praise to God? Like,
so I feel like, I mean, and these two guys here to my left and right, I feel like they'd agree. But in my personal goal, what I would like to see is what the Father would like to see. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's going in a direction that God is above it and in the center of it, then I'm at peace. Mm-hmm. But if it ever starts going in a place where, you know, it's starting to look like the other side's coming in, then we need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever God leads, like if it's bigger venues, it's bigger venues. If it's smaller locations, it's smaller locations.
Right.
Because God is gonna, the people that need to be at each of, you know, wherever we play, they're there for a reason. And God is going to use us. We're tools in God's toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
So God has gifted each one of us with different gifts. And so we could use them separately.
Right.
Could,
why does God need 2 10-millimeter wrenches?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's a good
yeah.
one.
So
why do I need 3 of these? I only need one.
And we just need to be obedient and go to the places that he opens the doors. A lot of that falls on us too, because, you know, you can't exactly, you don't know until you do some fishing.
Just sit in the corner and wait for them to come.
Yeah, no.
You have to go out.
So yes, there is an element of me reaching out to different venues and different churches and different places and trying to secure those places. But if I cast my net, then the fish that are caught are the ones that God says go. The fish that get away, or it doesn't, you know what I mean?
I like to think that it's not up to me.
No,
right?
It's not.
That's his glorious burden. It's yes. only up to me to tell you that it's a way for you to talk to him.
Yes.
That you can bring it. If you think that he's wrong, tell him, not me.
Mm-hmm.
What if I'm wrong? What if I'm the idiot? You talk to him. This is what I want. I want you to talk to the Father directly because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes. And right now what we're praying for is we're praying that we can, you know, get a couple churches that would allow us to come in this year and do, you know, a tour called You're Not a Mistake Tour, because that, you know, a lot of people, like, they have really messed up lives because they don't know Christ, or, you know, for whatever.
Some who do know Christ and have messed up lives.
And
they have a hard time reconciling that about themselves.
Yes, right. And the enemy has a nasty way of coming in and feeding us lies. How many times do we hear the same lie before we believe it?
Right.
And so a lot of us, you know, we start to believe that I'm not worthy, that I'm not, you know, that maybe I'm a mistake, you know, suicidal thoughts.
How could God love me?
How could God love me? Look what I did. I did 15 years in prison for this or for that. So we feed into those lies. But, you know, the truth is that you're not a mistake. The truth is that you were wonderfully, fearfully made. And part of these churches that we're reaching out to, I'm trying to explain that to the staff, you know, saying, you know, hey, this is what we do. We come in, we speak the truth. Our audience is the drug addict. Our audience is the captive. Our audience is the broken, the lost, you know.
But the healthy don't go to hospitals.
Right.
Right.
That's our audience. And that's who we want. That's who we're trying to attract, because, you know, we're trying to show them the love of God, the goodness of God. And so we're not so interested in, you know, perfect religion. I mean, sure, if somebody shows up to one of, you know, the events and, you know, gets saved and they're of a kind of a saint background, praise God. You know, any soul is great. Any soul saved is great. But it's that population that tend to feed into the lies, you know, from the enemy that we're really after, because that.
Been there.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're not.
The broken, you know, the broken places, Isaiah, you know, says, you know, the Lord binds up the brokenhearted. And so that really is our population that we're targeting. Mm-hmm. And so ministries like Celebrate Recovery, you know, things like that, we're trying to, I don't want to use the word partner with, because that's suggestive of like a long-term thing, but, you know, we want to worship alongside with those ministries. We want to come alongside, and whether it's for a season or if it's just for a Friday night, somebody that's broken, somebody that has been down the road of maybe I'm going to kill myself, or has been down the road of let me inject myself with heroin, somebody in that population is almost guaranteed to show up. And then when they hear the word, you know, when they hear the truth and the worship, and that's what it's all about for me. I don't want any of the glory. I don't. I want to just be the willing vessel, the humble willing vessel that God is going to use to get those people to the places that God wants them to be, to show them that this active life of drug use, this, you know, you did 15 years. This is not, your failures are not going to define you. This is not who you are. This is not your identity in Christ, right? And so a lot of times, you know, the old saying, you know, sometimes the word of God is preached better through worship, you know? Yeah. And so worship just does something. It just splits the atmosphere, you know? And so worship is very powerful. And I feel like it's very easy to, not easy, but it's just very, it's something that when you, if you get a room full of drug addicts that are hungry to change, you know, and then worship breaks out, I mean, boom, it's like,
well,
something
shifts. God created us as spiritual creatures, right?
Yes.
We're created in his image.
Yes.
Spiritual creatures needing a relationship.
Yes.
Right? Because when he created us, you know, as unimportant as you think you are, he could not imagine heaven without you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like a kid on Christmas morning waiting for you to come home. Like, can you imagine that the God of the universe, the King of everything, made you with the intent of spending eternity with you? He could not wait to spend eternity with you.
The word says he's jealous for us, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, how important do you think you are? Like, I'm faulty and I'm frail as a man. I will never let my son die for another person if it's up to me.
Right.
If he decides to sacrifice himself, that's on him. I'll be upset, right? But that'll never be a choice I made.
Yeah.
He loved us so much. While we were still sinning, he sent his only son for us.
Yep.
That's something I would be incapable of doing.
Right.
That if he asked me to do it, I'd be like, oh, God, don't Abraham me, man.
This is, not, right,
this is not cool. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, you know, and and it's tough. And I know God knows what our limitations are, right? He knew Abraham was going to pass. Abraham just needed to know Abraham was going to pass.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's our vision. That's where we're at as a band, as a band for God, you know, for Jesus. That's, you know, we're not trying to make billboards and things like that. We're trying to make the billboard of Jesus. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to use our gifts that God's given each of us to come together as one unit to do the Father's will.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what do you all do for our audiences so they can refresh? What do you all do for a living outside of worshiping Jesus? Like, what do you do to earn the money?
No, I guess I'll go first. I work at a steel distribution center. So just I cut steel, basically.
Perfect.
I have my own business where I own a package delivery route. I used to do roadside assistance for a little while. That contract fell through, but now I'm pretty steady with package delivery, and it's 1099 contract work, but it's fulfilling and
it's not as dangerous working outside of the road. Not as dangerous,
yeah. So, yeah.
I'm also an independent contractor. I own a business. I tune, repair pianos, and yes, I do technically work with steel. I do pull and push steel in the tension to the tension that it needs to be at. But
and he does the piano at our church too.
Yeah, yeah, that's my monthly.
Yeah, so I was gonna say your nemesis is what he was
your
about
nemesis.
To say.
This is my nemesis. Yeah, well, it's my arch enemy.
Yeah. Don't strike the key so hard, Barbara. That's like I have to tune this every week.
What is it? A 1970 something Steinway.
74.
Steinway.
It's older than me.
It's a Steinway. And I'm the only one here that actually has a regular 9-to-5. I need to get on. I need to figure out what I'm gonna do.
Get your hustle on.
Get my own.
So you know, honestly, I brought it up for a reason. Yeah. Is to illustrate that not a single one of you is doing anything that someone would expect that would bring glory and worship to God through song.
Mm. Right.
And so I would encourage people that it doesn't matter where you are. Mm. It matters what you do with the calling God has placed on you.
Amen. Mm. Yeah.
It's good.
That's it, brother. That's it.
I like that.
I mean, look at Peter. You know, he was a fisherman of all things, and Jesus called him in. Matthew was a tax collector. You know, I mean, Jesus wasn't out here targeting, you know, the religious and the Pharisees, and mm-hmm. you know, it was the scum of the earth. It was, mm-hmm. but
Peter wasn't that smart, and we know this because he didn't stay in school to become a rabbi, right? We know that if he became a fisherman to follow his family's trade, which was again not the most desirable job to have, that he failed out of school at some point, that he did not get the Torah. He couldn't memorize it. There's something, yeah. He was kind of, I'm not going to say he's an imbecile, but he's like somebody who didn't study the word.
Right.
And so he wasn't chosen by man, but God chose him.
Yeah.
So even though he wasn't in the word as much as you thought, even though you're not in the word as much as you think you ought to be, that doesn't mean God is not going to choose you.
Mm. Right.
And so you better get in the word sooner after that so that you can at least discern that that's him.
Yeah, that's true. And I liken that to, like, if Jesus walked the earth now instead of back when he did, he would have chose the HVAC guys. He would have chose the blue-collar workers, the, you know, the steel workers and the coal miners and the, you know, the self-employed. And
he would have sat with the politician that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Whatever side of the fence you're on, listen, whatever side, I don't care. He'd have sat with that guy or that woman.
He wouldn't have been after the pastors, you know.
He would not have cared at all that you would have called him names for sitting at the table with the person you vehemently hate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's looking for that willing heart. And you guys are willing. And you're going. And then you're seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
So what kinds of things have you seen in your journeys through these churches, miracle services? Like, you've seen God move. I felt God move. Like, when they were doing that miracle service with Delise and Justin Buckles, they were episode one in season two, so listen to that. You won't expect that story. Yeah. But when they were praying over people, I would get, the Holy Spirit would fill me up. There was so much Holy Spirit in the room. I would get tears, and then they would go, and then the next person would come up, and I just get tears each time somebody was getting healed, and it was just so powerful.
Yes.
And when the Holy Spirit goes through her, she's like a Capri Sun. She's just like sleeking, like you're squeezing it too hard. It's immediately.
That's
if I look over and she's tearing, I'm like, I know. I already know. I don't have to ask.
I'm so glad you went there because I'm the same. I feel the same way. Like, as somebody who's, you know, single-handedly been to that miracle, led worship at that miracle service and revival service, I mean, spiritual chains of darkness are just breaking off of people left and right. And so there was a time where I was even healed because at one of the services, it was in Greensburg, I had an issue with my stomach to where I had bloody stool. And so, you know, he was calling people forth, saying, you know, if you need a miracle, come up, now is the time. It was after he gave his testimony and preached, and so people were lining up. And I was on the guitar, you know, just kind of playing lightly in the background, and I kept hearing God telling me to go, get your healing. So I put the guitar down and walked up to him. Just, he's like, what's up? What do you need, brother?
It'd be a lot cooler if you walked down with it, though, and kept strumming as you did it.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to critique you. I'm just saying, if I was in the audience, I'd be like, that guy, that's awesome.
And it's kind of embarrassing, right? And it was a little embarrassing, but, you know, I had to be obedient. So I took the guitar off, and I walked up to Justin, and I told him, you know, and I said, yeah, this is what's going on. And he healed. He put his hand on my stomach and he began to just cast it out. And to this day, I have not had that problem. So, I mean, I single-handedly have witnessed it. I've seen it. So it's a privilege. It's an honor to...
And nobody likes a GI bleed.
No. Well, here's my thing. If I happen to win tickets to Casting Crowns or something, which I'm not even, like, I don't want to say I'm not a fan of Casting Crowns, but, like, you know, it's not a band I listen to on the regular. But if I was to win tickets to some big-name band like that, but then on the same night, like if I had a decision to make, like if Justin and Delise was preaching and they were doing a miracle service and it was on a Saturday night, but Mercy Me was coming and it was on a Saturday night, I would go with Justin and Delise, because the not saying that the Spirit of God isn't in those concerts, but I'm saying because of what
it's different.
It is.
Yeah, you get to be a part of.
And what I've what I have already witnessed and what I know happens at those services, far beyond any comparison, outweighs anything that could go on at a Mercy Me concert. Like, I would rather be in the direct spiritual presence of God than to be in the nosebleed section or on the lawn seats.
That's because many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, that's my heart. I would rather be in the physical, direct presence of God than in a lawn seat at a Mercy Me concert where, you know, I may or may not get to see anything meaningful going on, you know, so
just singing,
you know, and that's just my two, that's my heart, that's where I would rather be, you know. Right. What I mean,
what about you, Anthony? Where do you see, like, what's your heart for the band? Like he said, correct him if he's wrong.
I think Ben kind of touched on most like all the points, because, you know, the one thing I do want to say is that we're not religious people, so to speak. We're just followers of Christ, because there's a big difference in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I go to a church that's denominational. You know, they got their rules and bylaws and stuff, but he still preaches, you know, from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't preach Church of God. He preaches, you know, that, hey, we're disciples. We're not just, hey, we're religious people. You know, but that's why I'm happy to be here. Like, happy to, you know, be a part of it, because it's, you know, it's kind of like we're one of the same, you know what I mean? Because I've never really been religious, so to speak. I mean, we have our, like, traditions and stuff, but, like, I don't really care about all that. I care about just following Christ. What is the
right? No, obviously, God, religion gets in the way of the relationship.
Religion,
100%.
Yeah, relationship. That's what I'm looking for. Relationship, right? Yeah.
Religion, I think, is a means to try to control people to believe the way you believe. Religion. But a relationship is God explaining to you that you just have to believe, not in any special way.
Right.
Exactly.
Just know that I am God, and then that's it.
There's no magic to it. There's no words to it. There's no ceremony you have to do.
Yeah.
Quite literally, accept my son and his sacrifice for you. Yep. Believe that I rose from the dead. Acknowledge it with your lips, and you will be saved.
Be born.
Period. Right. Period. Right. You're done.
What do you tell Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again.
Right.
You know, believe and know that I am God, and that, you know, I'm in control.
When God was making a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham's setting up all the sacrifices to walk through, God put him asleep and he walked it for the covenant, because he knew Abraham would break the covenant.
Mm.
He knew that man would fail. So God did the ceremony because he knew he would never fail us.
Right. Yep. Mm. That's right. Yeah.
I think Ben touched on a lot of things that we're looking for. I mean, I would say my viewpoint in this band is, let's just see where the Lord takes us. I'd say that's about where I would stand. I mean,
how exciting!
Much,
you're up for the adventure.
Can you imagine?
In any aspect of life, right. I mean, you kind of just, not that you want to live completely spontaneous, but you want to just be mindful of where the Lord really wants you,
mm-hmm.
and you want to just live in a way that maybe there's a plan that you aren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
and don't anticipate so much. Don't worry about it too much. Just see where it takes you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Couldn't agree more. Never worry about it.
I got this vision of like, yeah, that's beautiful. I just got this vision of like God's extending his hand out, you know, and we don't know where he's taking us. We don't know what's behind door number one or door number two, but we know that wherever he's taking us, we're going to be safe. We're going to be provided for.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like we just put our hand back in. We just put our hand in his.
Like children.
Like children. And we say,
children of God, trusting their parent, taking us blindly wherever, leading you off a cliff. I have no idea, but I trust you completely.
Like my daughter, she's 13. Well, no, she's 14 now.
don't listen to this.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, right. No, she's 14. But you know what? If I said, honey, get in the car, we got to go somewhere. She knows without a shadow of a doubt that I'm not taking her somewhere where her life is going to be in danger.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not, there's no harm in your intents. None of them.
She gets ready and she goes. And so, you know, now I don't do that. I tell her like where we're going. But I'm saying if I know for a fact, like that if I was to be like, hey, honey, like if something happened, like an emergency, you know, and we had to leave quick. If I just said, you know, hey, honey, get in the car, we gotta go. She wouldn't question it. She'd just be like, all right.
Cannot say that about our son. He needs a 78-page dissertation with references why it's important.
And then he'll tell you if he wants to go or not.
And then he'll decide. And then he has to debate this for himself with an internal monologue that literally just puts him on pause. And he'll go back and forth.
That's literally my 8-year-old. He thinks that he's like 35 or something. Yeah. You know, he's like, where are we going? It doesn't matter. Just get in the car.
Like, he's like, on. Nope.
That's good. Yeah. He's never like, I just don't trust you.
Right.
It was the same way with my dad growing up and my mom and dad, but if I said no, then there was consequences.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah. I mean, you know, the difference, I think, between the Christian life with the children and living without it, because my parents were not Christian, is that it was a fear response. I obeyed out of fear.
Yeah. Mm.
Now I obey out of love.
Right. Okay. There's such a difference.
You know,
right?
You know, and that's why I think... Actually, I'm sorry, you go ahead. I've cut you off twice now.
No, you're good. You're good. No, I was just thinking because the way you said that is actually crazy. So my parents have adopted 4 girls, you know, and they... well, they're different than raising boys, obviously. And I was the only boy, basically, growing up.
What's the difference?
Literally the same thing. Well, what I'm saying is my dad was trying to raise
them. I know, I have daughters. I was just teasing. I just trying to make you uncomfortable.
Right, a little bit. No. So my dad was trying to raise them the way that he raised me. But it's like, I'm different because, you know, my dad will yell at me or get upset. Like, he never hit me or anything physical with me. But I never gave him the chance to because I was too afraid. I obeyed him out of fear.
I think it fueled him, really.
Right.
I think there was one time I raised my hand to my mom, and I didn't do it again. I didn't do it again.
Wake up a couple days later looking for your eye in the yard.
Yeah, see, I was too afraid to even attempt that. Because my dad, if you met my dad, well, I should say in his younger days, he was very...
I know your dad.
He was very intimidating, you know what I mean? And and it was one of those things where I didn't want to know what would happen if I didn't obey him, you know?
You know, the belt was coming out of those hoops really quick.
See, my generation is the find-out generation. I learned everything the hard way.
Right.
I invented a yo-yo trick called flirting with death where I stood on the arm of the couch while my dad slept on it and just zipped it down and tried not to hit him. Knowing full well if he woke up, I was going to get yeeted far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would have been yeeted in the future because that's when I would have woke up.
Yeah, right.
I got a beard now.
You know, that one part reminded me when you give your hand to the Holy Spirit, those videos, they were on TikTok, and someone will lift their hand in the video, and then it's like, wait, okay, now. And then it's like they go a little crazy. The Holy Spirit's taking them on a wild ride.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, I feel like that's us, you know. God extends the plan. He says, look, you know, here's my plan for you. He may not reveal everything all at once, but we get bits and pieces.
Yeah,
right?
You have to take that first step to see the next step.
Yes, in the present, not the future, but in the present, we get little bits and pieces, little sneak peeks of what could be to come if you just obey and just be obedient to what the Father has for us, you know. And it's like, he doesn't give the whole show away, but he might give you a 30-second teaser, you know. Mm.
And that's enough to get you excited. And be like, yes.
When you beat yourself up and when you get discouraged, you have to remember that God factored that in. Mm-hmm. Remember, He sees everything right now, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
So He knew. He knew. So you're not messing anything up. You're not messing up His plan. You can't. That is a sin from the devil to have the pride to think that you can mess up God's plan.
Right.
You need to get that out of your head. So, you know, when we're talking about how the metrics of the podcast are a little bit lower this season, that there's like a spiritual attack.
That's part of the ride.
This is it. Man, God factors in. He calls you to do this. Do you think He's going to let it go to zero? Absolutely not.
Maybe He's testing your faith. You know what I mean?
Every step of the way. And again,
he doesn't do it for his sake.
He already knows we got an A or B on the test. He already knows. He gives us the test that we know where we stand.
Right.
And we know where we need to correct. And we know where we need to grow.
Yep. And when Paul was in the prison, it was like he still worshiped. Even though he was at the lowest point, you know, shackled up. And, you know, Paul could have very well said this. He could have said, you know what, God, this is where I do all this in your name. I follow you. And this is what you have for me. He could have cursed God, but instead he praised. And what happened?
See, I'd have been sarcastic. I'd have been, at least I wasn't like stoned to death like the guys that I was persecuting. I guess I got it good. Thanks, Lord.
Yeah, right. I don't know what vendetta you had against Stephen, but thanks for not stoning me.
I appreciate you looking out this time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just that needs to be our attitude, an attitude of gratitude at all times. Because, like I said, Paul was in the prison. He could have chose to curse. But instead he praised.
Job could have chose curse.
Oh, yeah. If anybody had any reason, any, like, were...
A legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because the
from
world...
From our perspective.
From the world's perspective, Job definitely had every right in the book. He was a textbook definition of, if I'm going to be able to... He had that... He had the t-shirt. You know, he could have... Very well, easily. He had a legitimate complaint.
Right.
You know, in the world's eyes, right? So.
And instead of saying, God, why did you do this to me? What did he say? Praise God.
Praise God, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Because, like, once you know, you know, you know, you know. Like, going back, that's not even an option.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the way things were without Jesus and without pursuing him. Mm. It's like night and day. It's like, why would I ever go back to that?
Yep. And I've just my life, my journey, you know, even when I was homeless, I've been in some pretty dark corners of my life, but I can say that I've never had anything quite as despicable as what happened to Job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even on my darkest day doesn't compare, you know.
Under the bridge.
Yeah. Right.
With the tarp.
With the tarp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleeping in where I could sleep, you know, I mean, that doesn't compare. That pales in comparison to what Job went through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no reason to.
Yeah, again, we weren't covered in boils.
No.
None of your family was murdered like in the same day.
I may have stunk, but that's it. You know? I might have had a bad attitude and stunk, but it blows my mind because if my attitude back then was so bad, imagine what it would have been like if all that stuff that happened to Job actually happened to me. I couldn't have took it.
And that's why I didn't.
Right. Yeah, God knows.
Because
our
limitations. He knows. Because He made you.
Yeah.
And He knows what He's going to take to fold you and grow you into what He needs you to be as a spiritually mature Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point in the Bible does He ever call us adults of God.
Mm.
At no point should we ever take the mantle of anything but children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't mean we don't have authority. It doesn't mean we don't have power in the name of Jesus. But it just means that's the approach that we need to have to our Creator, our Father.
Yes.
Right? Not because He gives us things, but because He's our Father. I love you. I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And if you give me nice things, that's cool too, but I just want to be with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And He gives us patience, well, especially with my wife. Like, my wife has so much patience.
Can't imagine why.
All right? So, yeah.
This has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
We figured it out. The Holy Spirit worked it out.
Always does.
Amen. And I don't even hear the dog barking anymore.
They're off and on. They're intermittent. But when we're loud, they're loud. Then I don't hear
them.
They
just want to join in.
Right.
I didn't notice,
like, yeah.
They're making joyful noises.
Right.
Yep.
There we go. There we go.
That's so funny.
So predictable.
Right.
Just has to be heard.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, this has been a real treat, and it's so interesting the differences between all of your backgrounds, all of your faith journeys,
yeah.
Right? And all of the ways that could have stopped you from being in this room right now, but didn't. Right? All the prayers you didn't have to ask because he put you on this path and already had taken care of the obstacles that were going to be distracted, that were going to derail you from being in this moment. And I think it's so amazing that God is so vested in Carl's life, is so vested in Ben's life, is so vested in Sonny's life, that he is able to manipulate everything around you individually with the 6, 7, 8 billion people on Earth right now without a problem.
Right.
That if everybody all of a sudden right now decided to declare Jesus as Lord, God said, well, I guess I don't have to do the rest of this book. Right. Boom. We're all in heaven. This is it for the rest of eternity. He'd be able to have a conversation with every single one of us simultaneously. And that is
to my mind.
Pow!
I can't even comprehend it.
Right. He's able to be with all of us individually at the same time. Right? Like, I want to go walk with Jesus. Like, well, I got to wait my turn because there's like 753 million people ahead of me. I take my number.
It's like when you call customer service, you are caller number 574 right. You're like, in line.
Well, no wonder I have all of eternity because it's going to take that just to walk with him.
Right.
And that's not how it's going to be.
No.
Right? You're going to be blown away with how it's going to be. It's going to be like you are a part of him for all of eternity, that he can never leave that part that you're going to be cognizant of. For all of eternity.
It's like 740 million phone calls coming in at once, but instead of being met with just your caller number, whatever, it's, hello, this is God. You know,
he answers. Calling you by name. Hey, what's up, Ben?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. At the same time, he's answering everybody else. And it's like, it's mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. What's really neat is when everybody's getting the same downloads from the Holy Spirit, and then the same messages are coming out at the same time from different people who aren't even talking to one another, but the Spirit's talking to them.
We've noticed, we thought like maybe pastors went to conventions together and got their material, because we'd go to different churches and visit with friends and whatnot. I'm like, hey, they're preaching about the book of James at our other church. Oh, they're preaching about this and that. Hey, they're preaching. It's everywhere we go all the time. And they're not related except through Holy Spirit, where someone says, hey, this is what I want to teach this week.
Yep.
And God says, I want you to teach all these people. I want this to be a theme amongst my people.
And it's like when somebody speaks a prophetic word over you on a Monday, and then Friday of the same week, another person from a completely different church or a completely different environment speaks the same prophetic word over you. It's like, that's confirmation. And that's happened to me. So it's the Holy Spirit speaks to his people through his people and through himself too. But
absolutely.
You know, I've been visited in dreams. God has spoke to me in dreams. God has been there. He spoke to me through his people. There's things that I'm just like undeniably, okay, that was from God, you know?
So he speaks to us if we talk to him, like right now in this environment, not through me, not through a book, right? He'll speak to us directly.
Yes.
We have to hone that because we're not used to listening. Our problem is we like to talk.
Yeah.
Right.
And they would like to hear an answer that's like an answer you would give me.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he doesn't do that, we're like, all right, well, I'll keep talking.
It must not have been God.
Right? We're not good with uncomfortable silences. So I'm just going to keep on rambling, Papa, and just go right on, full send. And so we have to, says, like, well, you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to get Anthony to tell you.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell you something, and you're going to mention something to Carl. Carl's going to go, oh, my God, I needed to hear that.
And then you're going to have a revelation that it was from me.
And the more you practice it, we had a guest on that Caitlin Childs wrote a book, and it was all about hearing the voice of God.
7 Days to a Life of Limitless, ditch the rules of religion and discover unrestricted freedom.
You know, highly recommend you pick it up. You know, it's a great read.
Okay.
And it helps
Powerful
hone
episode.
your listening ears for the voice of God in a very real and tangible way that everyone can relate to. And once you start getting good at it, like you're flexing your muscles at listening to him, it gets easier and easier. Just like, you know, the first time you hit a drum set, were you amazing? I mean, you might have been. I don't know. Probably not though, right? No. I could never do it. I have zero rhythm. And so I'm at zero. I can't even play basketball.
Oh,
and I can't carry a note even if it jumped in my arms, right? But I could draw it, right? So we all have a different gift and how we use it. And, you know, and I do medicine and, you know, poorly. I'm like an EMT, so it's like the highest professional medical care you can get for minimum wage. But, you know, it's still there. The point is God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. And even if you're good at something, doesn't necessarily mean that's the purpose and plan for you. That's just a bonus gift he's giving you, right? Something you can use to enrich someone's life, your own life, or something else for the glory of God, but not necessarily your purpose or his plan.
You just said something that, I got spiritual goosebumps like none other, because I don't know, about maybe 6 to 8 months ago, I was on YouTube and I was hit very hard. And I questioned it because I'm like, is this God? But now, after what just came out of your mouth, I know for a fact, I'll send you the link to it. But I was on YouTube and I was doing a live thing and I said that exact same thing. I said, just because you're good at something doesn't mean that that's what you're, that's wild. That, I mean, even though that happened 6-7 months ago, you see, our timeline isn't the same as God's. No. God, I mean, God just confirmed that now, even though it happened to me 6 months, but I, word for word almost how you said it was exactly how I said it. And we didn't even know each other back then.
Not at all.
Isn't that wild? I'll have to show you.
It's not wild to me. I expect it. I expect it every single time. I don't know why, but something always happens like that where somebody gets something off of something I say.
I love
every single time.
People are getting revelations this season. I love it.
And so it doesn't matter if the viewership's going down, as long as the people that are at this table are getting lifted up in the name of Jesus.
I mean, I can't
because
make
because if
stuff
you
up.
Are going to bring the kingdom to other people, then why not feed the people that are trying to feed the people?
And for was going at that time. I was going through a very rough time, because there was a lot of things happening at church. I was on staff there as the worship leader, and there was, it's just, it was kind of a weird time. It was because I was being pulled away from that position, and I was like thinking and just having these thoughts, and that came out of my mouth. But now I know, like, God's taking me that direction, and it was God. And then you just said that. So I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
That is amazing.
Thanks for setting Ben straight.
You're right.
And using me to do it.
You're right. That's crazy.
Wow. That's great.
Wow. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. If this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you pass it along to a friend or family member that God laid on your heart. And if you could do us a solid and rate the podcast in Spotify or iTunes, that would greatly help the algorithm encourage other people to listen to it and be encouraged as well. And then we also have a fundraising campaign that helps us pay for this audio expense to make it sound so excellent by Dima in the Ukraine. And we would greatly appreciate prayers as well. And all those links are in the About section. And with that, we will talk to you next time.